Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 5 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. In today's episode, we are going to focus on cosmetic product testing, specifically the subject of product stability testing. Creating a cosmetic formula is a lot like the kind of experiments you do in an organic chemistry lab. You get raw materials, you weigh them, and mix them together in the specified manner. If you're good, you'll end up with a functional new product when you're finished. But there is one huge difference between a college organic chemistry lab versus a cosmetic formulation lab. In an organic lab, you mix chemicals together and you hope something happens. Ideally, you get the chemical reactions that you expect. But as a formulated chemist, you mix chemicals together and you hope nothing happens. Cosmetics are actually mixtures of chemicals that mostly aren't supposed to interact with each other. In fact, usually when you have a reaction, that means you have a problem. Since raw materials often do react or otherwise change, you need some way to test your formulas to see how much change they will experience over a certain length of time. This type of testing is called stability testing and is something that cosmetic chemists spend much of their time doing. If you want to be a better cosmetic chemist, you need to know the ins and outs of how to do stability testing. In today's episodes, we'll go through a brief description of stability testing and suggest when, why, and how it should be done. Let's first begin by talking about what is stability testing. Stability testing is basically an experiment you conduct to predict how long your formula will maintain its proper function and quality when exposed to different environmental conditions. In practice, a stability test is simply a procedure in which you create a batch of your formula and put samples of it at different environmental conditions for a set period of time. These conditions vary in temperature and light levels and are meant to simulate what will happen to the product during its life cycle. The longer your product maintains its starting specification values, the more confident you can feel that your product will remain functional for your consumer. At set intervals, you evaluate your samples for various physical, chemical, and performance characteristics to see how they have changed. If the changes are minimal according to your company's standards, then your formula is said to have passed stability testing. This means you can have confidence that when the formula is shipped to stores and ultimately gets in the hands of consumers, it will be as good as when it was first manufactured. Now, the underlying assumption in stability testing is that the increasing storage temperature speeds up any aging reactions that might occur. This is vaguely based on the Arrhenius equation, which suggests there is a relationship between reaction rate and temperature. Now, a handy rule of thumb is that a sample stored at 45 degrees Celsius for 8 weeks is equivalent to one stored at room temperature for 1 year. Now, this isn't an exact predictor, but it's good enough for the purposes of cosmetic products. All right, now that we have the basic principle behind stability testing, let's go through instances when you need to run stability tests. Since you'll be making hundreds or thousands of prototypes during your career, it won't be practical to run a stability test on all of them. You'll also find that the changes happen so rapidly at your company, you won't have time to properly test many of your formulas. But there are times when you do need to do stability testing. Here are some instances when you will need to conduct a stability test. First, there are new prototypes. Whenever you make a new formula and are satisfied with the way it performs, you should do a stability test to ensure that it will stay together. You don't need to test all of your prototypes because many will not work out how you want, but for the formulas that perform the way you want, you should test them. There isn't much use in creating a great cosmetic formula that won't remain stable for the months or year that is required for your consumer to get and use the product. Next, there are new raw materials. Whenever you have to change the fragrance, color, or other raw material in a formula, you'll have to do a stability test to make sure there aren't unacceptable changes. Also, when you have a new raw material source or supplier, you'll want to run a test. Remember that just because a raw material has the same INCI name doesn't mean that that's exactly the same ingredient or that it will have the same impact on your formula. Raw materials vary widely in terms of residual materials. Even the composition can be slightly different despite the ingredients having the same name. Stability testing is the only way to be sure that your raw material will be compatible with your formula. Whenever you have a new manufacturing procedure, you should also do a stability test. Since your manufacturing department is always trying to find faster ways to make formulas, they may change some order of addition or shortening some mixing time. Whenever changes like these happen, it could affect the stability of your formula. So conduct a stability test to ensure that any change is still acceptable. Finally, you should conduct a stability test when you are switching to new packaging. Cosmetic products change their look almost yearly, so packaging is constantly being modified. Whenever you get a new package, you'll have to determine if the formula continues to be compatible, and this will be done using stability tests. There are a number of other times you'll have to run a stability test. For example, you'll want to do one after the first production run of your product. You'll also want to do one whenever you use a contract manufacturer to make your formula. You can do stability testing on cost-saving formulations, on consumer research products, and a whole bunch of other instances. I think when I first started formulating, about 30 to 40% of my time was spent doing some aspect of stability testing. It can get pretty dull collecting samples and running all the tests on them, but it's a necessary part of the formulation process. Speaking of process, this is an excellent time to talk to you about how you conduct a stability test. You should know up front that there are no set rules on how you must conduct a stability test for cosmetic products. Of course, for cosmetic OTC products like sunscreens, APDO, or dandruff shampoos, the FDA has specific stability test requirements that you have to follow. But for cosmetic products, there are no such requirements. The PCPC has published guidelines, as has the EU cosmetic regulators, on which the following procedure is loosely based. To conduct a stability test, you need all the materials and equipment to make your batch, but you'll also need some additional equipment. To test the pH and viscosity, you'll need a viscometer and a pH meter. These are the characteristics you measure before starting the stability test. Next, you'll need equipment for storing your samples. This includes a couple of ovens that can be held at a specific temperature for a long period of time, a freezer or refrigerator, and a light box or window with partial sun exposure. If you have this equipment, you can start your stability test. So here is a basic 6-step format that you can follow for conducting a cosmetic formula stability test. Step 1, make your batch. You need to calculate out how much of your formula you need to make based on the number of samples you'll be using for the test. I typically made 30 to 40% more of a batch than I needed because my marketing group or manager wanted a sample or one of the test samples was damaged during the testing. Having extra material for more samples will save you a lot of time later. Step 2, fill your samples. Ideally, you'll have the correct packaging, but don't count on it, as often your marketing or packaging group won't have made a decision about what the final packaging will be. When appropriate, fill glass jars with the product along with the finished package. In stability testing, you want to do both glass and packaging if possible. The number of samples you fill will depend on how much testing you're doing, but at a minimum, you should have 2 samples for each storage condition. Step 3. After you finish your batch, you take initial specification readings. Pour off a sample and test it for all the characteristics you're going to evaluate later. The exact tests depend on the product, but you'll minimally want to record notes about the appearance, the color, and the odor. You'll also want to take pH and viscosity readings when they make sense, And for aerosol products, you'll want to do spray test patterns. Step 4, put the samples at different conditions. Stability testing requires different temperature and light conditions. Some standard temperatures include 50°C, 40°C, 45°C, 37°C, room temperature or 25°C, and 4°C. You'll also want to conduct a freeze-thaw stability test, which involves cycling your product through 24 hours of freezing, then 24 hours of thawing. Different lighting conditions involve a fluorescent light box and a natural light box to simulate sun are also needed. After you put up your samples, you could move on to step 5, which is evaluate the product. The sample should be evaluated at the following intervals: 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, and 52 weeks. Evaluating the samples means conducting all the tests that you did when you started the test. So that would normally be pH, viscosity, odor, and appearance. You need to record any changes that you observe. Typically, only the room temperature, 37°C, and 4°C samples are evaluated at the 1-year mark. The highest temperature samples and the light exposed samples only need to be evaluated for the first 3 test intervals. Step 6 is determining the stability. Now, typically, after 8 weeks, you can confidently decide whether your formula is stable or not. Nearly all products will exhibit some change, so it will be up to you, and your boss, of course, to decide whether the product passed or not. If you have the time, it is better to make the final decision after 12 weeks of testing, but this is rarely available or even necessary. Early in your career, stability testing will be one of the most common activities you'll do. If you can create a system that you consistently follow, you'll avoid burnout and be able to confidently communicate when a product is appropriate to launch. Because stability testing is all about deciding whether your product is safe and effective for launch. Today's challenge. Having a challenge for today's podcast is difficult since not everyone in the audience will have access to the equipment required to do a stability test. But I wanted to come up with some way that everyone can see some changes to help you understand what happens to samples over time. So if you have no lab equipment, you could do a stability test something like this. First, make a batch of some product or go to the store and purchase a few bottles of identical shampoos or body washes. A colored product that is either green or blue would work best. Next, pour the products into a single container and mix so they are all blended. Record your observation about color, appearance, and odor. If you have the ability to record pH and viscosity too, that's great. Also note any other characteristics about the product that you can. Then pour the samples into glass jars. The jars can be 2 ounces or so. For a standard stability test, you typically use 4-ounce jars, but this is just a mini stability test. Put the samples at different environmental conditions. For example, you could put one in the refrigerator and another in the freezer, and you can put one in a windowsill and another on a countertop. You may also put one in an area that is heated, like around a heating vent. Just be sure to note the temperature and other conditions that you're storing the samples. After about 2 weeks, take a look at the samples and see if you notice any changes. If it is a well-formulated product, you shouldn't notice any differences. If it is a poorly formulated product, you might see a color change or smell an odor difference. You can put the samples back and check them again in another 2 weeks. When you've completed this exercise, you'll have a good understanding of what is involved in testing the stability of your formulations. Certainly, there is more to it than this because we didn't even mention testing for microbial contamination or weight loss, which you should do both of those at the start of a stability test. But the procedure I outlined above covers most of the important topics of stability testing. If you know this procedure, you will be well on your way to becoming a better cosmetic formulator. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss an aspect of working in the cosmetic industry that most science majors don't think about: developing your career. Specifically, I'll be covering some of the non-science skills that you need to develop to advance your science career. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section of the show notes page and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast service that you use. Also, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help others find the show, and it will let me know if you're finding this stuff interesting and useful. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share them with anyone else you might know who will be interested in it. You can also follow us on Twitter, or at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum, and I encourage everyone to go sign up and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered right there. That's at chemistscorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Well, that's all for today. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.